Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
So it's quite interesting because we've got these reports of the death of Twitter. I can't help thinking, who did they talk about? Which was the famous author that said sort of the stories of my death or the reports of my death are overrated? I kind of feel that about Twitter, but at the same time, what a wild place. Kanye is back, and how does he come back onto Twitter with Shalom? He's back. He's trolling us, even though I think it's actually quite funny. I know I'm not meant to. But Donald Trump is back. I'm not sure what's going to go on there. What is the real story? Is Twitter dying? Is it really just those who don't like the new changes carrying on about it as though it is? Arthur Goldstuck, CEO of Worldwide Works. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Ready for another crazy week in social media.
Wow, absolutely. And you don't even know where to look. Are we going to get whiplash between Eskom and Twitter and everything else? Wow, we're off to another crazy start. So tell us what you can fathom is really going on at Twitter.
I think that Elon Musk is putting into business strategy the tweeting strategy he had for the last few years on Twitter, which was a case of anything goes, and whatever strikes his fancy on a given day, that's what he's going to do on Twitter. It's bizarre because when you look at the way he runs Tesla and SpaceX, he goes back to first principles as an engineer, and everything is rigidly planned. On Twitter, it's almost as if he's now letting his hair hang down, what he has left, and going mad. It's like someone who works hard all week and then parties heavily on the weekend. And for him, Twitter is his party.
But is it as bad? I mean, I sometimes worry that we all just get caught up in this whole thing. You know, when we see reports of him firing people who disagree with him publicly, well, perhaps that he should. It's a company. Especially a public company, you go and disagree. You bring the company into disrepute in the public environment. You're going to be fired for that. But then people are saying on Twitter, well, you know, how could he fire people for disagreeing with him? So there's a lot of that where I sometimes think, hold on, he's trying to run a company. You know, rules should apply. Now, maybe they haven't, and maybe he's very clumsy in how he's going about doing it. But isn't it important that certain rules are adhered to?
Well, the fundamental rule of business leadership is that you listen to your team. You don't just decree. You don't just lash out. You don't just accuse. And right. One thing that he is incapable of doing on Twitter is listening to criticism. If you can't listen to criticism, then you're not a leader. Then you're simply a child having tantrums.
But does that criticism need to be in public with millions of followers listening into those conversations? I'm not sure that many CEOs would tolerate that.
But at the same time, very few CEOs would in public go criticizing and lashing out.
It's true. That's true.
His staff.
Right.
So he's basically reaping what he's sowing.
Right. So what is the situation now at Twitter?
Well, there's two interesting stories playing out. One is what happens when staff arrive back at work today, because bear in mind, New York time, it's still around midnight or just after midnight. And Twitter offices were closed since late Thursday. And the idea or the thinking seems to have been that he's going to fire half his staff, if not more, but no one knows which half. And while they figure out who gets access and who doesn't, they simply close off access to everybody. They lock the offices completely. So this weekend, everyone expected Twitter to collapse because no one was at the wheel. Somehow it carried on going, which is a tribute to the engineers who did put it all together. Hmm. The fact that it was able to show that resilience with no one actually running it. So what happens now is people either get email notices saying they don't have a job to come back to, or they get back to work and they'll only discover if they have a job, if their access cards work, which is one hell of a way of running a company. Getting back to that whole leadership issue, leaders don't create that level of uncertainty. And you also expected staff to work at an intensity at which they'd never worked before. And they had to agree to that vague requirement if they wanted to keep their jobs. Again, you're making demands on staff loyalty and commitment without giving any commitment in return. So he's breaking every rule of the leadership book. And this morning, when people get back to work, will be the next phase in that saga. But I just must mention there's another saga playing out, which is, as you mentioned, Musk giving access back to lunatics like Kanye West and Donald Trump. And Trump has already said that he doesn't see the point of going back. So it's almost a slap in the face of Elon Musk's craziness.
So the, but in terms of that as well, you know, I tweeted something yesterday which I feel quite strongly about, and that is the decision to allow Donald Trump back is not supporting the decision to allow Donald Trump back is not support, not doesn't mean support of Donald Trump. We're smart enough to know that there's a difference. I'm absolutely the antithesis of a Trump supporter, but at the same time, the way in which that ban worked, I thought was problematic. To suspend him at a time where there's potential political or national violence is one thing, but to keep him banned while you've got others like the Ayatollah, like Iran, free to continue with their hatred on Twitter was strange. And Donald Trump is able to stand for the next election as American president, well, then he should be able to be on Twitter. So something's wrong with how this whole thing has been handled until now. And I'm not sure I can tell you or I know what the answers are, but it doesn't really make sense that, and of course I'm much more ambivalent about Kanye because that impacts me more personally. But actually I do feel that to a large extent, you know, he should be suspended and that should keep happening until he learns to behave on Twitter. But it's quite a dangerous field that we've been in, where a group of people a small group of people gets to decide what is and what isn't acceptable or unacceptable. It's a difficult one. I don't know what the answer is, but I know we don't have the answer yet.
It is a complex one. You outlined the complexity quite well in the uncertainty around it. But one thing that one can say is that it does require firm leadership and firm guidelines with regard to policy. And that is something that you simply don't have with Twitter. If you had a clear direction or clear approach to how these things should be handled, then people would understand how or why the decisions are made. But as you say, when hate speech is allowed to flourish, then you can't arbitrarily ban an individual for incitement. There's so much incitement going on. And I regularly flag content that I regard as hate speech or harassment and the like of groups, particularly Jews and Blacks when they are targeted or when there is hate speech directed towards them. And invariably, I get a message back saying, this does not violate our community standards. Then I have to ask, what does?
Yeah, it's pretty much the experience that I have as well and have had, but that's not new. That's not under Elon Musk. That's been going on for a while. So it will be interesting to see. Do you think Twitter's going to survive this?
I think Twitter will survive, but there is chaos in the meantime, and it's not good for the platform. It's not going to be good for business because advertisers have abandoned the platform in droves. Some have increased their spending, strangely enough, because they see an opportunity. But generally speaking, no solid, respectable advertiser wants to be associated with the platform right now.
Very, very important and very interesting conversation. It is 7 o'clock. I'm Howard Philpin. That is Arthur Goldstuck, CEO of Worldwide Works.